hi, hi, hi. Just checking out. Sometimes it's it's important to check in. See where everyone is at. Are we all right? Are we fine? The reason why I'm doing this is sometimes when we stand up here, we may take for granted that everyone is coming from the same place and we've had the same week. We've come from the same home. But we all have different experiences in life. And I think coming to a house of God, for me, is so relevant, so powerful. Because when we come into the house of God, we come knowing that we are entering into a place where there are people who've been praying for us, people who think about us, a God who've been looking after you, even if you didn't know that. He's been watching over you. There is something about this God that we serve, that He loves us so much. Today's world, people might try to let you know it's past. God is not past. Just the same way that our past hasn't gone away. Sometimes we don't understand the reason why we do certain things the way we do, because the past invades the present. That's why we need the presence of God. Because our past can be so powerful and follows us at every step of the way and tries to corner us. But thank God that He said, for God so loved the world. For God so loved you and me that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes. It's a simple thing. It's about trust. He doesn't ask for so much. Just trust in Him with all your heart. Sometimes it's hard because we've trusted people and they failed us. And sometimes people, you know, I work, part of my role is being a family support, a family. I work with a clinical team. As a pastoral person, I work in sometimes our local mental hospital, but we work as a team, not because it's a mental hospital, but we're working with couples and families. Sometimes it's difficult when you say to someone, I'm going to, once you mention the word mental, people panic. There's no need to panic about mental health. Mental health is not mental illness. Just like we have good physical health, we can also have good mental health. And it's about looking after yourself and about taking little steps every day. Even if you can pick up a phone and know that there's someone at the end of the phone, that you can talk to someone. You can wake up in the morning knowing that you can actually get up and say, or open your eyes and say, come on, I'm going to get up. Because there's a God who looks after me. He's a real God. And He's alive. There's something powerful about this God we serve. Every step of the way, He watches over us. And He cares about us. He cares about our mental health. He cares about our well-being. He wants us to be good. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. And He's alive. And He sent His Son. And it's amazing that He sent His Son to us to become a human being. Thank God for Mary. Say, let it be to me. Sometimes it's hard when a young woman who's engaged, going to get married, suddenly had to present herself to the future husband and said, "I'm expecting a baby." How did that happen? God came to me. That is something. People might wonder about it. A lot of intellectuals and people with brains, you know, people think they've got their brains, and we don't have the brain. But I tell you, sometimes people go home. They could be professionals. They could think they know so much than us. But when they go home and lock their doors, behind the closed doors, they weep. People agonize because there's no one there. You look for someone and there's no one there. But this God is ever present. He's always with us. And I tell you, my life, all of us, our lives differs. We struggle. We come from different angles in life. But I want to be sharing something quickly with you. I'll try to slow down because being a clinical person, sometimes we have to slow down too. But I'm not here as a clinical person. I'm here because also I'm a pastor. And in a clinical team, I'm a pastor. And I'm part of a network of pastors who are known as the Pastors Network for Family Care. And that is something that we've been sponsored by the government and the clinical commission because they recognize something about who we are as pastors. Because as pastors, we are there as a listening ear. We open our eyes to our community. Not just within the church, but we look out. When I get out into my community, sometimes I don't drive, I get on the bus. And people can sense there's something about you. I've met many young people who wanted to cause trouble on the bus. They see me sitting there. They call me, "Hello, officer." And sometimes I'm reading a book, and they said, "What are you reading?" And I share what I'm reading with them. I spend my time just looking out for people. And because God cares about me. And in my life, people have cared about me. I spent most of my life in boarding school. And that's a different story. When you live day by day with your mom and dads, I used to live with the students. And if they want to get your provision from you, you have no choice. You know, provisions, when you've got your sardines, you know, when you're in places like Ghana and other places, you know, you have your sardines, your corned beef, and your Milo, you know, your chocolate things, or Milo, your Bonvita, you know. And a senior student comes to you and said, "I need them." You have no choice. Mom and dad is not there. Your big brothers are not there. You have to learn. I remember one day, one of my colleagues said to me, "Because you were in boarding school, how were you comforted?" And I looked up to him and I said, "Comforted? I wouldn't like anyone to comfort me in boarding school. They might think I'm a chicken." You have to present yourself as so powerful. If you can pay others, you do that. And I had friends, I would go to them and say to them, "I have a fight today. But I need you guys to follow me. And what your job is to hold me tight when I'm warning this bully." And I said, "Hold me tight. Make sure you don't let me go. But I'm going to challenge him and frighten him. And you warn him too that you're going to let me go, but don't let me go." This is where I got a good reputation. And I still have a reputation. That's why they're excited that I'm a pastor. And they all tell their story. Some are in the government, in top places, but they still tell stories that I've even forgotten. And I used to tell my wife the stories, and she didn't believe me until she met them herself. And they told her more stories that even I've forgotten. But the thing is, it's about knowing who you are. Because my parents instilled in me this godly awareness of the God who lives in you and the God in whom you live, move, and have your being. There's something about this God that's so powerful. It's awesome. And I tell you, when you walk with the Lord and in the light of His Word, the wonderful glories He sheds in your life, the beauties, the strength, the power, the authority. And sometimes you may find yourself, you think, He's not coming. I can't find Him. I don't know where He is. But then He turns up. It's not your shouting. He comes. And when I thought about the verse and the Psalms, and also thinking about you, my mind went through so many things. I know I had time thinking through, but I thought, after I prepared so much, the Lord said to me, just drop them and just come. And just sense the heart of the people. Watch as I watch. And I'm just sensing your hearts and where you are. Just like I said before, mental health and problems, you are not the only one who have them. We all go through the same. The only thing is not be afraid and ashamed to talk to someone. Because I know that sometimes maybe your home is not a safe place for you. But God is able to make that a safe place for you to be able to talk. And church, if you can't do it at home, church is that place too. Because the church is a powerful place. We are like a family. We are not a family, but we are like a family. And I think we should make a place, you know, the thing I like about this place is that Pastor Gideon and Aaron and the leaders are making space and room for people to be able to talk. Because I tell you, the skills that a lot of us are learning helps us. It's like extra tools that a lot of us are acquiring in clinical. But at the same time, the church, I've always sit at clinic. And I think, wow, if only we can pray. If only we allow God in this place. So much could happen. So much could be turned around. Because the thing about church is we think about solutions. We're not just thinking about problems. Sometimes people come to you just wanting to tell you all their problems. And they think that you'll be worried about them telling their problems. But you don't need to major on the problems. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. God has already offered us the answer. He's already given us the clue. He's already done and finished the work. So whatever your situation is, whatever your problem is, whatever your difficulty is, don't hold back. Because even as men, I mean, sometimes I always find our men don't like to talk. But the thing is, we don't have to be afraid. Keeping our problems or keeping your problems, you don't solve them. When we share, it's halved. It's already God who listens is already with us. Psalm 46 says, God, the same God in the beginning, God who created the heavens and the earth. The same God, Jesus said, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge. It's a sure foundation. It's a sure deliverer. He's a strength and a refuge. Many of us will remember the popular Psalm, Psalm 91. He or she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You will dwell in that protected place. God is our refuge. Who can challenge me? Who can put me down? Who can threaten me? What sickness can corner me, can destroy me when I dwell in that place of refuge with my God? There's something about this God that I remember years ago in my young days when Balaam and Brixton were inner city areas. And I had just a young person come from Switzerland to college in Wales. So some of my friends in Balaam said to me, don't go back home, because I was commuting from Switzerland here. And they said to me, stay in Balaam. And I've read about Balaam that there were three places in the UK in those days, in late 70s, early 80s, where no one wanted to stay or leave. Balaam, Brixton, and Belfast. Balaam, Brixton, and Belfast. There were three areas that no one was advised or encouraged to leave. But I tell you, I remember my first night in Balaam. I stood at a window and I saw a whole group of black young people looking into a car. And I think they were trying to break into the car. And I think if I lived longer in London, I wouldn't have done that. But I was very naive. It was later on I was told I was naive. I opened the door and I went out and I thought, what are you guys doing? And they ran off. But then I think one of them might have looked back and thought, this little guy, threatening us. So within seconds, one of them just came out of the bushes, and he was right in front of me like this, looking at me. What do you think you're doing? And it was all sorts of words coming out. But I've been to boarding school, so obviously I'm still naive. I thought, who is this person, you know? But at the same time, my knees were having fellowship. I was thinking, what's going on? And this guy just said to me, said all sorts of things, and I knew he had his hand in there, he had something in his hands. He just warned me, and he told me to, whatever he said, to get back in there. And I've never heard those words before. But it's interesting that sometimes you have some strength, you don't know where it comes from. Even though you're afraid, but you know there's something. You had to do that. And I'll tell you, I've not looked back since, because this same voice became my protector. They said to me, you said something to us. I can't remember what I said. But up to today, they told me. They said, I said something to them that even their parents have never said that to them. I told them about this God that is awesome. This God that has more for them. And the identity, where the identity lies in God. And God has more for them that they knew. And knowing that this God is my refuge, and my fortress. The God in whom will I trust? I realize I have broken something that a lot of people couldn't do in Balaam, Brixton, and the neighboring areas. When suddenly I found myself catapulted into a position where suddenly I was commuting from Wales, working there with boarding school and coming to London, because the police thought, whoa, he's not afraid, he's naive, but let's do something with him. And that, for me, became an amazing when I got to know most of the young people who live in those areas. And our life became that kind of life of opening our homes for more young people. And we had the faith to believe the Lord, Yvonne and I, to see a bigger home opened so we can have 6 young people living with us when we got married. And Shalom House, which was a dream house, became real. And God has been so faithful. That home, young people could come and find an environment of refuge, a safe place to know that this God is real. And he meets our needs when we cry. I remember thinking of Abraham and the way he was called in Genesis chapter 12, the way he was called out to go from his father's house, from his family, from his kindred, and go to a land that God will show him. So that we don't know the journey God calls us on. We all have journeys. And that's why, as pastors and leaders, we journey with you. Because God has called us to do the same. God has called us to follow him. So we journey with each other. And in therapy, in work, in clinical work, it's about journeying with people. It's not about God just calling you and leaving you. God journeys with you. And God journeyed with Abraham. All that. And it's interesting that you remember, if you read chapter 11 of Genesis, God has called Abraham and promised him that he was going to have children. He was going to be a blessing to the whole world. All families of the earth will be blessed through Abraham. But at the end of chapter 11 of Genesis, when God has said, called him, he said, and Sarah was barren. Isn't that sad? When God has promised you all that was going to happen to you, and suddenly he says, and my wife was barren. But the good thing is, God provided. There was a mistake where Hagar comes in. But sometimes I don't see it as a mistake. God works his plans. Hagar and Ishmael comes in. And somehow, in the harsh and difficult situation, Hagar is cast out. If you read in Galatians chapter 3, 4, and 5, you know, she is cast out of the house because Sarah didn't want Ishmael to have equal share with Isaac. But how difficult it was for Hagar in chapter 16, she goes out and God finds her. It's amazing, God. He finds her. And God says to her, where are you going? Obviously, God knows. But he gives us always time and opportunity to say our bit. He doesn't do all the talking for us. And then in chapter 21, the same thing. God, she goes away. Abraham sends them away, distressed. But God finds her again. Opens her eyes. She finds a well of water because she was worried that her son was going to die. But God hears her voice, and God hears the voice of the child. God is a God who protects, he guides, he leads. He's an awesome God. Psalm 47 says, he's an awesome God. Deuteronomy 21, no, 7:21 says, he's an awesome God. He moves mountains. He's a deliverer. He brings salvation. He listens to us. So Psalm 46, he says, God is our refuge. And he said, therefore, we will not be afraid. There's no need to be afraid when God is with you. And this psalm is broken into three very quickly. Verse 1 to 3, it's one. It said, God is our refuge. And in verse 2, it said, therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake and its swirling rises up. And it says, Selah, in some of your translation, it states, stop, pause, and reflect. But the reason is that there's a refrain that goes with this psalm that in most verses you will not find at the end of verse 3. And that same refrain you find in chapter verse 7. It said, the Lord of hosts, God of legions, of angels, of multitudes, is with us. The God of Jacob is your stronghold. So in verse 3, at the end, it says, that refrain comes in, the Lord of hosts is with us. And then it goes on again from the same, from verse 5 to 7, and then from verse 8 to the end, verse 11. Verse 11, it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. When it says the God of Jacob is with us, it's actually taking us back to Abraham about the promises in Genesis 12 that God will bless us. God will enrich us. God will empower us. God will bring salvation to us. God will bring eternal life. It means that you are not going to bed and thinking it's all going to end. He plans your life. The God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob is with you. The same God whose line David comes from, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Jesus comes through the same to offer us that life. They said, in him, all families, your family, my family, will be blessed. Psalms 1 says, blessed is a man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. God calls us to walk in his counsel. You are blessed. You are blessed. The door is open. And I'm saying to you, don't keep, maybe your secrets are your secrets, but they are opportunities for you to be able to express your heart. Maybe sometimes it's easier because you don't see God. It's invisible, rather than talking to me or talking to a mom or a dad or any other person. But I tell you, sometimes it's also good when you get into your room and remember, it says, where two or three are gathered. And you pour your heart to him. And know that Psalm 46 is saying, there is so much catastrophic stuff, upheavals that you will encounter in your life, storms that you will encounter in your life, difficulties you will encounter in your life. But it says something, the God of Jacob is with us. And when the Bible says, is with us, it means Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God is with us. The people who sat in the darkness, at Christmas time we hear those from Isaiah. The people who sat in darkness, the people who sat in the shadow of death, they seen a great light. And I want you to open your heart to this great light. Because it said in John chapter 1, it said in him was life. And that life is the light of the world. The word of God is a light. Jesus says, I am the light. And he says, let your light shine. So the way that Genesis opens by telling us we are made in the image and likeness of God, the same God wants you to, opening your hearts to him this morning. We are standing with you. I don't want you to leave this place thinking there's no God. I just want to pray this prayer over you from Ephesians. Remember, in Romans 8, it says, nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing will separate us. If you have separation anxiety in your life, if people have cut you off, you feel separated from people, God is there with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul, praying for the people of Ephesians in chapter 3 says, brothers and sisters, oh no, I think it's chapter 1. Let me see. Oh, I've opened the wrong part. That's wrong with me. Sorry. Yeah, it says, chapter 3, sorry. It's chapter 3, verse 14. Paul is saying, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and in that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. You are in church. You are in the place where God's river, God's calm river flows. He said, be still and know. Whatever is going through your life now, whether it's past things that happened to you, we're talking about now. Are these things still tormenting you? Are these things still worrying and troubling you? Be still. Relax. Be calm. Allow God to come and empower your life. For you going back to school, for you going back to college, whether it's a new job, new friends, new situations you're going to encounter, God of Jacob is with you. Emmanuel, God with us. Don't let anyone convince you or stop you from believing in this God, because you'll be in luck. You'll be lacking. I tell you, when we have God with us, there's something powerful that we... It's just something that I would never want to give it to anyone, to take it away from me. I will share it with them, but I will never give it away, because I'll be alone. Know that you are not alone. God is with you. He said, be still Whatever is going on in your life now, just be calm. Taking a deep breath. Just taking a deep breath. Jesus. Kabo shake it up. Maybe in your mind, there are a lot of things that you're beginning to remember. Things that are coming to your memories. Things that will come to cripple you, to put you down. Nightmares. Many frustrations, whether it's financial, sicknesses, other things that maybe. Prayers, you've been praying for breakthroughs. This God is real. This God is awesome. He moves mountains. This God brings salvation. This God brings eternal life. He said you'll be blessed when you come in. And when you go back home, you'll be blessed. You'll be the head and not the tail. You will stop following people. You will stop being dragged around. You'll rather be leading. Because this God that I serve brings healing. Right from Genesis to Revelation, we can say it, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And he appears. Be still and know that I am God. He said, desist. Just calm down. Stop panicking. Take some deep breaths. You're breathing too fast. And sometimes you can look into someone's eyes and you can know they are afraid of something. But I tell you, God looks in your eyes and says, I love you. I know what you're going through. And God will sit down, cross his legs, relax with you. This God I serve, many times I just say, wow, what a God we serve, that he should send Jesus. Jesus hanging on that cross there. That you would think that was the end, isn't it? But that wasn't the end. Whatever pain, whatever difficulty you're going through, he took it to the cross. That pain, you'll never know any pain like that. He took it to the cross. He went to the grave in a shadow of death. He went to the grave. But the grave couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't contain him. He broke loose. He's alive. He's alive. Father, we thank you. Lord, thank you that you are here. You are here. Kabo shekera. Kabo shekiyabo. Father, everyone here, Lord, I'm thinking of families. I'm thinking of couples. I'm thinking of marriages. I'm thinking of mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, uncles and aunties, friends. I pray they'll be covered by the blood of Jesus. They'll come into that place of refuge, knowing that you are our strength and our refuge. Lord, that they'll be overshadowed by you. That people will be calling them blessed. Just like Mary said, she'll be called blessed. Father, I pray that you release your happiness, your joy, your salvation, your healing, your gifts, your grace. Kabo shekiraba. You said the Spirit of the Lord has anointed you to preach the good news to the poor. Breaking breakthrough and deliverance and binding and, Lord, healing the broken hearts. Opening the prison doors. Bringing light to darkness. Father, I just pray that you will come as you are here with us. Reach out to every heart in this room. Meet every need in the name of Jesus. Meet every need in the name of Jesus. Just like Peter and John, is neither silver nor gold do I come to offer. But in the name of Jesus, I come in the name of Jesus. He said, you shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from sin. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. And breakthrough. You bring freedom. You bring strength. You bring calmness. Hallelujah. And you bring liberty. I pray for deliverance from oppression. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Any fear of mental health or mental illness, Lord, I thank you that you are the deliverer. And then we are willing, as a church, reaching out to our community, reaching out to each other, praying well-being into each other, health and well-being into each other. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that no man, no woman, no child, boy or girl, should be without help and support from you. And you have given your church to be a place where the river flows, a place where the city of God, the city of God experiencing the living water flowing through the temple and flowing through our hearts and our lives, as Jesus promised, that out of us shall flow rivers of living water. Just allow that living water to flow into your life. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Kashukuriyandaba. Freedom. Freedom to you. Freedom to you. No more hiding and keeping quiet. He hears when we talk. When we speak, when we cry, when we call upon him, he hears. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and journey with us. You who was promised to come, and you came at the day of Pentecost. We received that power. You came, and it is said that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for that tremendous, incredible support that you will always be with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.